Hey, good morning, men. It's bright and early for you guys, huh? You guys been up for a little while already, I hear. Good. That's really good. All right, well, I'm going to pray quick, and then we'll get started. Sound good? All right. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this morning, for this day that you've made. God, we just pray that you would do in it what you will. God, I just pray that you just use me as you will. Just to speak into the lives of these men. In your name, amen. Well, I just want to first start off by just saying how honored I am to be here with you guys. I love the fact that you guys are here and you guys are working through some real stuff. That's inspiring to me. And so I just want to thank you and just for the opportunity to be here to share with you, something that, really has meant a lot to me. As I sat down and figured out, kind of hashed through what could I bring to you guys that might be encouraging, that might spur you on. This is what I came to. And so kind of to honor you guys for how honored I am to be here, I just want to be really real with you guys and really authentic with all of you about some of the stuff I've gone through, and just how I've needed to find God, in my own life. And so, just a real quick background on me before we kind of dive into the message this morning. I grew up kind of going to the church, but didn't really buy in. I'm sure some of you guys can maybe relate to that. And I went through a lot of internal struggle and turmoil. Basically, I was depressed for about, I don't know, I think it was like 8 or 9 years. I've attempted suicide a couple times. And for me, when I looked at scripture and I heard preachers get in the pulpit and say, you know, God loves you, I really struggled to see it. And so I'm going to show you guys this morning one of the places in scripture where that actually became real to me. And it helped change my life. And so just hoping that it might be of an encouragement to you guys. And for me, and I think for all of us, like, we need to be able to see in our lives and also in the Bible. You know, if we're Christians and we claim this is the Word of God, we need to be able to see and experience God's love. We need to be able to see that in what Jesus did. And so the question I was finding myself asking was, where in the Bible is this love that we hear about? You know, I hear preachers say God loves you, and I look in the Bible and Jesus runs around and he says a lot of really good stuff, right? Like, he says a lot of really good stuff. But I found myself looking, you know, where is this love I hear people talking about? And so that's kind of where we come to today. My sermon title this morning, if you're taking notes or whatever, is The Untold Story of Zacchaeus. So I'm just going to pray us in here and then pray us into the text, and then we'll get going. So Heavenly Father, Lord, just illuminate this word to us this morning. Just help us to see you in it. Help us to see the reality of your love and how you interact with your children, God. In your name, amen. All right, so the passage this morning is Luke 19, 1 through 10. Before we dive into that, I want us to just set the stage a little bit for what's going on in Jesus' life. Where is he at? Jesus has, you know, he was the little kid, he was born, he's done the bulk of his ministry, and now he's on what's referred to as the road to Jerusalem. And so he's making his last march through these winding roads to Jerusalem for his crucifixion. And so for him, he's realizing that this is the last time he gets to be with the disciples tangibly on earth teaching them, right? If you knew that, hey, I had one more week with somebody and I'm kind of your teacher, your mentor, I'm going to make sure that the lessons I think are most important, that I reiterate those to you, right? I mean, you're not going to waste this opportunity. And so Jesus here is not wasting the opportunity. We see the stories that exist from when they turn towards Jerusalem as being kind of, for me, those are the key stories. Like, The rest of the teaching is really good, but these are the things Jesus wanted to make sure stuck in the minds of the disciples. Because he knew where he was going. He told them. I mean, a couple verses before this, in the middle of chapter 18, he reminds them, hey, I'm going to be crucified. They still don't really understand what that means, but he knows what's coming. And so he knows, I've got this week. I've got this 2 weeks here to make sure they understand really what I'm all about, really what my Father is all about. Are you with me? All right. And so that's what's going on when this story takes place. They're walking on the road to Jerusalem, and on the way, there's the city called Jericho. Jericho, you come across in the Old Testament. You come across it again here. And that's where Zacchaeus lives. And so I'm going to read the text now, and then we'll kind of pull it apart for you guys, and see what's going on here. So in verse 19, or chapter 19, verse 1 of the book of Luke, it starts by saying, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowds. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. So the first thing I always do when I come to a passage like this, I always want to step back and figure out, you know, who are the characters at play here? And we see Zacchaeus being a key guy in this story, right? It's about Zacchaeus. And there's some character traits Zacchaeus has that I think are really helpful to understand what's going on. First of all, we know that Zacchaeus is a wealthy man. This wealth, I mean, in this period of time, there was a huge difference between the people with money and the people without money. I mean, even more so than we have in America today. And Zacchaeus was a guy who had money. The next thing we have here is that he was the chief tax collector. Now, there are a couple types of taxes that got collected under the Roman Empire. The type of tax Zacchaeus likely collected would be like a customs tax. So you have your walled city. Anytime somebody traveled with goods through your city, they paid a tax on it. And these first two points, they're really connected, because the way it worked was that if you were a tax collector, you fronted the money to the government and then collected on the backside. So Zacchaeus would basically write out one huge fat check to the Caesar for the right to collect taxes in Jericho. And now you can kind of see where it starts to get corrupt. He's already paid off the government. The government's happy because they have money. And so people are bringing in, you know, they've got their cart of goods they're wheeling through town. He can say, you know, you come up, you say, hey, it's worth 100. He says, no, I think it's worth 150. You have to pay taxes on 150. So this is how Zacchaeus got rich. This is why Zacchaeus is wealthy. And this is also the reason why you see the reaction you do from the crowds who say, hey, he went to eat with this sinner. This is a guy who is constantly ripping people off. He's constantly stealing from people. So it's important to see that. And the next point here is that Zacchaeus had real needs. And so you can kind of think, if you're this character in society where everybody kind of doesn't like you already because of what you do, because of what you've done, there's a lot that comes with that, right? So Zacchaeus, you know, he needed and longed to feel accepted by the people around him. You know, aside from being a short guy, you know, which I'm not, but I have some buddies who are short, and somehow I hear it's more difficult than being tall. I don't really completely understand that, mainly because I'm over 6 feet. I was under 6 feet once, but they say that doesn't count because I was young. But I mean, what we have here is we have this guy who's got real needs, and because of his career, because of the things he's done, there aren't people in his life to meet those needs, right? I mean, if you look at this list, and this is just a short list here, you know, acceptance, friendship, validation. I mean, these are things that we all need, right? I mean, who in this room here doesn't want to feel accepted or validated? You don't want it? No, that'd be good. It'd be good to have that. Those things, they come from outside of ourselves. No matter how good you think you're doing or how awesome you think you are or how successful you are. I mean, Zacchaeus, this man was ridiculously successful at what he did. You don't become the chief anything without being successful. And yet, his success did not lead to any of these things. You know, I'm sure he got that pat on the back from the government once a year when he wrote that big check. But I think we all know that when you give someone a big check, of course they're going to give you a pat on the back. They're happy they just got a big check. And so this is Zacchaeus, right? He's the social outcast of Jericho. Probably one of many, but he is a social outcast. And that's kind of setting the stage as to what's going on here. You know, you got Zacchaeus, who's a tax collector, another term for what the specific type of taxes he collected. His role would be called a tax farmer. Kind of a little tidbit there. And so this is kind of setting the stage. This is his life. When he woke up that day, this is who Zacchaeus was. You know, this guy who's successful. He's probably pretty smart. But he didn't have anybody to share life with, to meet those needs, those real needs he had, that were underneath the superficial needs he thought he had, that were met, you know, the superficial needs of having money, having a nice place to live, having a good, successful career. Those things, we think they're first, but in reality, like, we know they aren't. We know it's more important to have buddies around us who accept us for who we are. And Zacchaeus didn't have that. So next I want to move to, you know, looking through this, it's like, okay, so we kind of know who Zacchaeus is. Why the heck does Zacchaeus go to the road? You know, the way I was always taught this growing up was, oh, well, because Jesus was coming and everybody knew who Jesus was, and obviously you'd want to go to the road. I want to step back from that for a second. And I want to just think through logically, why would Zacchaeus go to the road? First of all, how many of you guys have ever lived in a small town? Small town. Yeah. Small towns, they're like the beacon of everything fun, right? Right? Like, stuff's always happening in small towns. Always exciting. You can always find something to do. No, that's not true at all. Small towns are kind of boring a lot of the time. You know, you've got that like one thing your small town does in the summer. It's like, oh, it's UFO days. You know, which, if any of you are from Elmwood, Wisconsin, it actually is UFO days, which is hilarious. They have a gas pump on top of a petrol station, kind of as a joke, like so the UFOs can come and fill up with gasoline. It's bizarre. I'm dead serious. You can drive through sometime. It's very interesting. Small town life is a little bit different than where you guys are living at now in South Minneapolis. I like big cities, so sorry if you're like Mr. Small Town, and I just totally rained on your parade. So small town factor, yeah, there's not much going on. So when something does go on, everybody comes out. You know, it's like, hey, the cow's giving birth. I don't know. Like, hey, let's. Well, there hasn't been anything in 2 weeks. Sure, why not? Maybe we can name it. I don't know. Again, I didn't grow up in a small town, so I could be completely off base, but a little bit, sorry. Don't mean to disrespect anybody. So the next thing to look at here is the fact that Zacchaeus, I mean, looking at what we know about Zacchaeus now, I mean, the guy was, he's kind of lonely, right? He was successful. He had money. He probably had a really nice house, but he had nobody to share it with. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, I actually tend to be extremely introverted. And I mean, it's just, for me, there are times where I would just go out to the mall just to be around people, just to see people. You know, is anybody here in the room like that, where if you get cooped up for too long, you just have to go out and see people? Even if you don't talk to them, you're just like, hey, I just need to know that, like, the rest of the world didn't get raptured and I'm left in my bedroom or something like that. Like, hey, I just need to know that there's other people walking around, breathing, living, that I can see them. You know, it doesn't fix that loneliness or that isolation that you feel, but it's good to just be near people. And I mean, I'm a people watcher. I love going out and just looking at people. It's fun. That's why I food courts are awesome for that. Cause you get some of the craziest people that walk through food courts. But the next point here, so you've got him coming out, one, cause there's nothing really going on in Jericho all that often. You've got him coming out cause he's just, hey, there's a crowd. Yeah, well, I might as well go see what's going on and be around some people. And the next thing, Jesus was kind of a minor celebrity at the time. So we have to look back and realize that, you know, people likely knew the name of Jesus, especially in Jericho. Jericho's fairly close to Jerusalem and Bethlehem, where a lot of what happens pertaining to Jesus, a lot of the conflict happens. So, you know, there'd be news like, hey, this guy named Jesus, he like threw these tables over and stuff. Oh, that's crazy. Why would you do that? And so the name of Jesus, he was kind of a minor celebrity. Most people probably didn't know a whole lot about him, but they would have known his name. So you can kind of think of like a Michael Phelps, right? We know the name Michael Phelps. We know he's like biologically made to be a fast swimmer. I don't really get it. He's got like massive hands and, you know, it's like but we don't really know much about Michael Phelps. But if he came to town, you know, if Michael Phelps was like, hey, I'm swinging through Team Challenge, you guys would go, that's sweet. I'll go see an Olympic gold medalist. I don't know anything about you. I'd like to see the medal. That would be cool. But in a lot of ways, that's kind of the way a lot of these people living in that time probably thought of Jesus. Somebody whose name they heard, they knew a few things about him. You know, maybe they had a relative in a different city whose friend knew a guy whose friend got healed by Jesus. You know, kind of like one of those roundabout things. And so they likely heard some sort of stories, probably not on any regular basis. But then they hear, hey, Jesus is walking through town. So it's kind of one of those opportunities to go out and just realize, hey, does the hype live up to what we've heard? Like, does the man live up to the hype? Now let's go see for ourselves. And so there's this crowd that's forming. And we kind of can know from what we read here in chapter 19 that Zacchaeus, he didn't really know who Jesus was. All right. Like as I studied this, I came to that conclusion. I don't think Zacchaeus really had a clue who Jesus really was. And the reason I say that is let's look the story immediately before Zacchaeus. As Jesus is walking towards Jericho, he comes to a blind beggar. Okay, and this guy, you knew who Jesus was. So let's look at his response to Jesus when he met Jesus, and then we'll compare that to what Zacchaeus did. So in chapter 18, just before it's verses 36 to 38. And so it says, when the blind beggar heard the crowd was going by, because he can't see him, he asked what was happening. They told him Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So the beggar called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Okay, so that's his response. I mean, this is a guy, he knew who Jesus was. He knew that he was the son of David. He knew that he had the ability to give mercy and grace, right? And so how does that compare with with chapter 19, verse 3. This is Zacchaeus' response when he hears Jesus is coming. He wanted to see who Jesus was. You know, Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. The beggar was like, "Son of David, have mercy!" You know, like, "Come on, I'm right here. I can't see you. I know you're in the vicinity. If I talk really loud, you'll hear me." Zacchaeus was like, "Ah, let's go see who he is." And so Zacchaeus is going, not really sure what to expect. Probably just excited to get out of the house and be around some people. And here's the thing that's amazing to me. So Zacchaeus doesn't know Jesus, really. He's heard his name. And here's the amazing thing to me. If you look at verse 5, the first word that we have out of Jesus' mouth is, "Zacchaeus, come down from that tree." What? So here's Jesus just walking through, walking along on this street. And the first word out of his mouth to Zacchaeus when he gets to that tree is his name. That is nuts. And so what we see is that Jesus knew Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had no idea who Jesus was. You know, he heard a name, he's heard stories, but he did not know who Jesus was. Just like we've heard stories about somebody like a Michael Phelps, but we don't know who Michael Phelps is. And here Jesus just drops his name like he's a long-lost friend. "Hey, come down from the tree. We're hanging out today. I'm going to go and we're going to stay at your house." What? Okay, real quick background on a first century culture tidbit. Okay, this is extra. This is bonus material for you guys this morning. So in the first century, the way it worked is if I was friends with somebody who had a higher class or social standing than me, anytime we hung out, we did it at his house. Because his house, it was a social game. You know, if I was friends with the president for some reason, he would not come to my house to hang out. We'd go to his because it makes us both look good. And so even though Zacchaeus had all this money, he was a social outcast. I mean, the rabbis of the day, they looked at people who did what Zacchaeus did and said, if they entered your house was unclean. So even though from a success perspective, he's probably one of the wealthiest guys in Jericho. But with that, he was like the bottom rung of the social ladder. Like, nobody wants anything to do with him. That's why he's so lonely. That's why he just wants to be around people. And so now we have Jesus walking down the road, seeing him clinging to a tree, you know, and I'm doubting Zacchaeus had some name tag on, who's like, "Hey, I'm Zacchaeus. Hello, my name is Zacchaeus." You know, no, he just walked out of his house. Unless you guys wear name tags in your own house when it's just you. You know, it's not going on. And so you've got Jesus who knows Zacchaeus. And he's saying, look, Jesus knows who he is, right? He's not like wondering, I wonder if I'm the Son of God. This crucifixion thing could really be a downer if it turns out it's not true. You know, that's not what's going on. Jesus knows exactly who he is. He knows exactly what his call in life is. And yet, here's a guy of like one of the lowest social rungs of society. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't say, "Hey, come eat lunch with my disciples and me. Like, come up to our level." No, Jesus says, "Hey, I'm going to your level. I'm going to your house." And Zacchaeus, you can tell he's excited because he gets down immediately and he's like, "Yeah, come on, let's go." And so what happens? All right, so we see that Jesus pursued Zacchaeus first. Zacchaeus was just getting out of the house, really. You know, he's just, something's happening. Let's go check it out. Let's go see what's going on. I'm sure with Zacchaeus' work that he didn't have business on a regular basis. I mean, he just taxed people when they traveled goods through Jericho. It was probably a couple times a week, but there were probably days where nothing happened. And what we see is Jesus pursuing Zacchaeus. And this is inspiring to me because for me growing up, I knew of Jesus and I had heard a lot about Jesus, but I didn't, there was no pursuit on my side. I looked at it as another school subject, you know, like social studies, science, like, oh, there was church. And you could learn the things you needed to learn about church. So when someone asked you a question, you could regurgitate an answer to them and you'd pass. I mean, that was my faith growing up. But Jesus pursues first. Jesus pursued Zacchaeus first. And so, we see that because Jesus basically lays it on the table. He's like, hey, I'm hanging out with you. Let's go hang out. And so the next thing here we see is that God understood Zacchaeus' real needs. You know, those needs that Zacchaeus has been carrying with him. You know, the needs for acceptance, friendship, validation, self-worth, like all these things. Jesus understood them about Zacchaeus before they even met. Right? And so when Jesus tells Zacchaeus, hey, we're hanging out at your place. Let's go. Get down from that tree. Come on. I'm taking the day off. We're hanging out, you and me. I mean, come on. In that instant, he just hit almost every single one of these real needs. And something happens when they hang out. It isn't written down for us in Luke here. But I have a really good hunch as to what it is that happens. Let me kind of let you in on that. Because I think this is that untold part, right? This part that we know that Jesus is pursuing Zacchaeus and that he cares about Zacchaeus. But I think what happens and why at the end of the passage here we see Zacchaeus be so different is because when they're hanging out, right, they're in the kitchen, they're having lunch, they're just hanging out. It's evident to Zacchaeus that Jesus actually doesn't just want to be friends, but that Jesus loves him. Absolutely loves him. And that there's nothing in this world that compares to that. And it's not some love that you just read in a verse and it says, oh, for God to love the world, he gave his one and only son. Yeah. He loves me. No, it's Jesus sitting down, having lunch, going, tell me about yourself. I love you. We got to get to know each other. You, Zacchaeus, I have walked on this road for you. And for me growing up, the first time I experienced that, it changed my life. I mean, I knew all the right answers. I mean, I could share the gospel. I led people to Christ and never actually believed that God himself loved me. And I don't know where you men are at today, but I know for me, I had heard time after time after time that God loved me and it never hit home. And I would read stories like this and I just blazed through them and I would just wonder, why was Zacchaeus so different? And it's because Jesus sat down and really actually loved him. I mean, Jesus loved him and Jesus loves you and Jesus loves me and he loves us in this way. Not in some superficial, yeah, I love humanity, and so you're a part of that, and I guess I love you too. No, like, I know your name, I know your needs, I know your pains, I know everything you've ever gone through and will go through, and I've been there with you the whole time, and you didn't realize it, but I've been there, and I love you. And if you would just open your eyes, Zacchaeus,
you would know that I will never leave you. And it was so radical for Zacchaeus. I mean, this changed his life to the point where he got ridiculous. Okay, just thinking logically, okay, his response is, hey, I'm giving away half of my possessions, and anybody I've wronged, I will give them back fourfold. Now we have to stop and think for a second. The only way Zacchaeus made money was by wronging people. Okay? And so, there's no way he can do this. So he gives away half of what he has. Okay, let's just think about what this means. He gives away half of what he has to the poor. Cool. Okay? And now he says, hey, anybody I've wronged, I'll give you back fourfold. So, roughly, he's already tried to give away like 175% of what he owns. And if you go back to when we were talking about what he does for a living, he had to front the money to Rome to collect taxes. You can't do that as a poor man. You can't. So he's not just giving away money. He's not just selling his house. He's just giving up everything. I mean, this guy has no career left. He has no money. He has no house. He has nothing. And you know why? Because the shift happens. The shift from where the things he thought he needed success, he needed wealth, he needed a job, he needed this house. You know, I'm sure he had a nice house. I don't know if it had a sweet calendar on the wall like that, but he had a nice house. And he just gave it all up. And this is a guy who probably doesn't know how to do anything else. I mean, you couldn't just wake up one day and decide to be a tax collector. Because you needed the money to front right in the beginning, and you're competing with anybody else who wants to be a tax collector. So you've got to outbid them. You mean you come from money. This is all Zacchaeus has ever known. So you guys, maybe some of you did come from money, maybe some of you didn't, but you know what? The lesson here is Zacchaeus, he let everything he knew go because he experienced really, tangibly, actually, that God loved him. And it was worth letting go of everything he knew. He gave up everything. I mean, the lifestyle, the career. I mean, imagine going from Bill Gates to guy on the street. I mean, that's a dramatic lifestyle change. I mean, who knows if the guy even knew how to cook? Who knows if the guy even knew how to buy his own food? I don't know. But there's a huge, huge sacrifice that took place here. And so the reality that exists within the story of Zacchaeus that I never heard growing up, that's why I call it the untold story of Zacchaeus. Because I never heard this version of the story of Zacchaeus. I never understood why Zacchaeus would up and leave everything. It didn't make sense to me. I just figured, oh yeah, Jesus must just be really smooth with words or something. You know, really, really convincing. And the reality of it was, I mean, Jesus says it in the last verse here. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. He came to seek and save you. Now, hear me say that. He came to seek and save you. Say it with me. He came to seek and save you. Exactly. That is amazing. In the same way that he loves Zacchaeus, he came to seek and save you. And now I know, I'm just kind of wrapping up here, but I know that you guys are working through a lot here at Teen Challenge. I'm not going to ask a lot of you guys, but I'm going to ask two small things. First, I'm just going to ask that you guys praise God for never giving up on you. Right? That you praise God for never giving up on you. Zacchaeus, I'm sure Zacchaeus had 1,000 people give up on him. Say that he wasn't worth their time. That, hey, I just don't relate to you. But God does. And so praise God for never giving up on you. And second, thank God for saving you. Right? I mean, thank God for saving you. That's all I'm asking. Praise God for never giving up and thank God for saving you. Can you guys do that for me? That's good. And so for us as a group, you know, just try living out a little bit of what Jesus did for Zacchaeus with one another. All right? Where it stops being about you and it starts being about somebody else. It starts being about somebody near you. Okay? And ask yourself the question, how can I help my brother make it another day? How can I help my brother make it another week? Right? Because that's what Zacchaeus really needed. He needed a brother to come alongside and say, hey, how can I help you make it another day? How can I help you make it another week? Right? We all need that. I need that on a daily basis. I wish I didn't. I like to think I'm like a complete person who needs no one. But it's not true. So with that, I'm just gonna pray us out here. And I just want to thank you guys again just for this opportunity. I'm honored to be here with you guys this morning. And I'm so proud of all of you guys. Like really, like this made my month right here to get to come in and share with you guys just what the most meaningful thing about God for me. And I hope it meant something to you guys too. So I'm gonna pray us out. All right. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much, God, that you love us, that you never give up on us, God, and that you save us, God, that you seek and save us, that you came for what was lost, God, and that is us. Jesus, we love you. Help us to love you more. Help us to encourage our brothers. Lord, in your name we pray. Amen.